Begin the current daf, Masechta Tzachon daf Ayin Daled. Begin on the top line of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara was qualifying, relating to the halacha of our previous Mishnah, where there was a machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachamim, when the limb of a fetus sticks it out while the animal is still alive. Then the question is, how do we qualify that limb that was on the outside? When you slaughter the mother, does that have any relevance to that limb of the fetus? Well, the fetus inside gets permitted with the slaughtering of the mother. However, what's with the limb that stuck out? So Rav Meir said, regards to the limb, we don't view that as permitted by the slaughtering of the mother, and we actually consider that as Abram and Achai, as Nevela. It has no permissibility. It's going to still have the Tumah of Nevela. And Kach the Chacham said that no, it actually gets purified like a Trefa that gets slaughtered. Here too, although we view the limb that stuck out like a Trefa, it's not permitted with the slaughtering to be consumed, to be eaten, but regarding Tahara, it is purified. However, on that Rabbi Yechonah qualified in the second version, which our Gemara continues with that theme, is that that's regarding to the limb of the fetus. That's where the machlekes Rav Meir and the Chacham was. But regarding the limb of the animal itself, what's called Avraham Adultal, if the limb is just hanging by a thread, where that's never going to heal, so that was where there's a differentiation between Shechita and Misa. And that is, Rabbi Yechonah said that everyone would agree in that situation that Shechita would not make Nipul. Nipul means to say, as we're going to quote the source of that pasuk on this daf, that it's like as if it fell off and it's not connected to the animal itself. Hence, it does not get permitted with the mother. By Shechita, it does not make Nipul. We actually view the slaughtering of the mother as if it's pertaining to that limb that's hanging by a thread too, that although it's not permitted to be eaten, but it will be matarit from Tumas Nevela, will not have Tumas Nevela. In contrast, Misa Eitz Nipul, when the animal dies, we view that limb as if it was not connected to the animal. The relevance of that is that we view the limb as Eivrim and Achai, which has different halachas, although it also has Tumah, than that of the primary animal itself, which will be considered as a Nevela. Now, on that theme continues the Gemara. Yasav Rabbi Yisav Kamed Rav Huna, the Yasav Akama, so Rabbi Yisav was sitting in front of Rav Huna and he was saying the following teaching. Amr Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Achloy Lozeh. If someone eats this hanging limb, like it, he gets lashes, where that limb does not get permitted with the slaughtering of the primary animal, which gets slaughtered. Amalei Ahum Rabbanan. So one of the rabbis spoke up and said, Loi Tetzisulei, don't listen to Rav Yisav. Because Hacha Amr Rav Yitzchud Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei De Rav, that the teaching was said in the name of Rav, that achle ladeh ain't a leika, that if one eats this hanging limb, he does not get lashes, which is continuing the theme of the previous daf, which came on the top of this amid, as we had qualified Rabbi Bachan and name of Rabbi Yechanan, that no, there's only a rabbinic halacha that the hanging limb looks like Eivrim and Achai, so rabbinically they said that one should not go ahead and eat from that limb. But really, Shechita does not make Nipul. We don't view it as if it was disconnected. We view it, if the animal was slaughtered, as if it's part of the animal. And therefore, you're not going to get lashes, because biblically it's not considered Eivrim Lechai, rabbinically. But don't listen to him, because you don't get lashes. On that, Amar Rav Huna, who's hearing these two opinions, so he said to Rav Yisav, Anana man nismach, so who should we rely on? So Adrina Rav Yisav lapes. Rav Yisav, in anger, turned his face away. And Amalei said to him, my question, what's the difficulty? What do you mean you don't know which way to go? Ki Amriyano, when did I say this teaching in the name of Rav, that if someone eats this hanging limb, that the person is going to get lashes because of Eivrim and Achai, that it was not considered part of the animal. It's considered like a limb was disconnected from a living animal. I was told my b'misa, when the primary animal died, that I'm saying this halacha, which we said in the previous daf, to Eisenipul, that it makes it as if it was disconnected. Now, but if the animal died, so what's the difference? Either way, it's prohibited, either because of Nevela Eivrim Achai. What Rav would be telling you, the way Rav Yisrael is qualifying, is but that you have to give the appropriate hazara, the hasra, to the person to warn him for him to get lashes. The person doesn't get lashes if he wasn't prior warned. So what Rav would be telling you is that you don't warn him because of Nevela, because it's not considered Nevela. You would have to warn him because of Eivrim Achai. Kiyomer ihu, when this rabbi was saying that the halacha is not like that, he was talking about b'shchita, when the primary animal was slaughtered, the eino is a nipple. That does not make nipple. Yeah, that is not going to get lashed, because that actually gets permitted with the mother itself. But we're not talking about, we don't contradict each other. I was talking about when the animal died, and he was talking about when the animal was slaughtered. Which again is as we had said in the previous daf, in the name of Rabbi Yechonah. Now, on that Amar Rav, he says, Menoha milsud Amar Rabbanan. How do we know this halacha, which the rabbis say, we said from Rabbi Yechonah in the previous daf, we say from Rav, from Rabbi Yisav on this daf, that misa eisen nipel, that when the animal dies, then we view the hanging limb as if it's not connected to the primary animal, and it does not have the halacha of the animal itself of nevela. Shechita ein eisen nipel, when the animal is slaughtered, then we don't say as if that limb fell off. No, we view it as part of the animal, and it gets permitted from the laws of tuma with the slaughtering of the mother. Where do we find this halacha? Says the Gemara Dechsip, says Rava, from the pasuk in Meyikra. This pasuk refers to shratzim, which are one of the elements that could be metame, a person when certain types, eight types of shratzim, these vermin, when they die, they transmit tumah. So the pasuk says in Meyikra, v'chol asher yipol lalav mehem b'maisim, whatever will fall from them on a person when they're dead, yitma, they'll contaminate. Says Rava, l'mu'utemai, what exactly is this coming to exclude when it says, when they're dead? If you think it's coming to exclude when they're alive, because shratzim do not contaminate when they're alive, but you wouldn't need this word to do that, because you have a pasuk later on, it says, when it's going to fall minivlasim from their carcass, nafka, that's where we really learn this out from. So elish mamina, rather, what we infer from this pasuk, when it's saying, the word yipol and b'maisam, what it's coming to tell us is that through misa isanipol, through the death, that's when it makes what's concerning falling off from them, that the limbs that are hanging will view it as if it's disconnected. That's how we're interpreting the pasuk. Kol ha-sheyipol mihem is b'maisam. When they're dead, then we view what's hanging from them as if they fell off. But ve'en shechita isanipol. But slaughtering does not make nipol. It's only saying when they die, not when they're slaughtered. That's how you know this halacha. Now, however, Amalei Ravad ba'Avla Rava, he asked on Rava, but v'akrab shratzim k'siv. This pasuk is talking by vermin. There's no halach of shechita that's applicable. How could you exclude shechita and say, oh, this pasuk of the tumah is only when it dies? Oh, that's when we say that that's going to create nipple, but b'shechita, we don't view it as if it's nipple. There's no shechita by shratzim. So Amalei, so that Rava responded, he says, no, most definitely, when the pasuk is saying this word b'maisam, it's coming to exclude something. Because for the halach of the pasuk itself, it's not telling us anything. Because, like we said, obviously it's talking about when they're dead, because the other pasuk says nivlasam, when they're carcass, when they're dead. So it should have just said v'chiyipol. If we were coming to only say the halach of nipol, which is that misa makes nipol, just say v'chiyipol. And I wouldn't have to say b'maisam, because obviously we said that it's talking about when they're dead. So why is it b'maisam? Rather, says Rav, because it's coming to exclude the laws of slaughtering. Now, but it's not talking about something that applies to slaughtering. So that's where the application is of the way the exposition is of different verses, is that it me'ena inyan l'shratzim, what's known as me'ena inyan. If a pasuk is not telling us anything for its context, where here, shratzim, there's no halachic relevancy of shechita, because the lab b'nei shechita ninu, there's no halach of slaughtering on the sheretz, and if you wouldn't need b'maisim to tell you that, because even when you slaughter a sheretz, that's the death of the sheretz, there's no significance of slaughtering. So t'nei you inyan l'behema, so then you apply it where it does have applications, which is by an animal, that we're telling you that the nipple is only going to be with the death, but when it's slaughtered, that does not create nipple. Now, but the Gemara asks, but v'kata mibayle, how could you say that b'maisim is unnecessary for sheretz, and therefore you're using it for behema, that's how we know to exclude shechita that does not make nipple, but you do need it for the context of shratzim. You need it to tell you ke'ein misa. Why say b'maisim? We already know it has to be dead. Yeah, but it's telling you that it should be exactly as it was at the time of death, which was lachin mitamet, to tell you only right when it dies, at the time of death, that they're moist, then they transmit tumah, which is excluding a sheretz, which is yaveshim eimetam. If they dried up already, then they don't transmit tumah. So it's not extra to teach you this exclusion of shechita eino eisenipo. Says the Gemara, trei b'maisim k'sivi, says two times the word b'maisim. One is to exclude a sheretz that's yavish, and one is to exclude shechita that does not make nipo. Now, continuing on this halacha, which from our Mishnah, which is where we introduced this whole discussion, where we were contrasting between the limb of the fetus, and even though Rameir over there says that there it's not going to be considered permitted with the mother, but the Avraham Adulda, the limb of the animal itself, which is hanging, there we said that everyone would agree that Shechita would not make Nipple, it would be permitted through the slaughtering of the mother. So Amrav Chisti says, Machlik is be'aver du uber chai. This whole Machlik is in our Mishnah between Rameir and the Chacham was only from the limb of a living fetus, which that's a type of species that has the halacha of shechita. So then you could say that the slaughtering of the mother will also help for the limb that left when it was still alive, that when you slaughter the animal, it's going to permit that limb that left. Av be'eva de uber meis, but the limb of a dead fetus, Says Rav Chisda, there everyone would agree that slaughtering would make it like it was disconnected, and that it's not going to be permitted, even according to the Chachamim, from the slaughtering of the mother. Because that, although when it's inside the stomach, yeah, it gets permitted with, even if it's dead by the mother, but the only reason why the Chacham says Rav Chisda, that the hand of the fetus is getting permitted through the slaughtering of the mother, is because it's something that at least Shechita applies by it. But a dead fetus doesn't have a halachic application of Shechita, so it's not going to be permitted by the slaughtering of the mother. But Varabama, he disagrees. He says, no, kemachlik is bezeh, kemachlik is bezeh. Just like they disagree regarding to the limb of the living fetus, so too, the limb of a dead fetus is still considered part of the mother, and therefore the slaughtering of the mother, just like it helps for the dead fetus inside, will also help for the limb that stuck itself out, will also be permitted, will also be purified from the tum of nevela, and will not have the tumas of magam nevela for the rest of the uber, as they disagreed in the halacha of the Mishnah with Remeah. Now on this theme, the Mishnah concludes by saying that ben shmeina chai v'chulu, that if there's an 8-month-old fetus that emerges, there the shechita is not going to be retired. Now, the context of this end of the Mishnah, what this is discussing, as we mentioned, is the machlekes remain in the Chachamim regarding the limb that emerged from the fetus before the animal was slaughtered, and then the animal was slaughtered. The question is, what's the status of that limb? So Remeir said, it's a nevela, it's an eva melchai, it doesn't get permitted with the shechita of the mother. The Chum said that no. Just like we find by Trefa that slaughtering is what purifies it, even though it cannot be consumed. So to over here, the slaughtering of the mother will purify the limb from the tum of nevela. Which Remeir disagreed, he says no. By the Trefa, you're slaughtering it itself, it's the body itself. But here, the limb is going to be purified by something that's not the body of the mother itself. Now, in that context, the Mishnah explained, Navayin beiz mebeiz, how do you know that the slaughtering of a trefa purifies it from its tumah? Really, you should say, just like a non-kosher animal cannot be consumed, and the trefa cannot be consumed, so just like a non-kosher animal, shechita does not purify it, so to trefa, shechita should not purify it. So the Mishnah said, no. If you're going to say by a non-kosher animal, which doesn't have any permissibility, a horse never could be slaughtered, in contrast for being consumed, in contrast by a trefa, which has an opportune time before it got a mortal defect, so maybe shechita should work for it. On that said the Mishnah, no. What do you mean? What are you going to do with if it was born at birth and had a trefa? What are you going to say then? It never had a shasa kosher. And that says the Mishnah, no. A non-kosher animal, its whole species doesn't have slaughtering. By a trefa, that its species has slaughtering, so therefore, even this, when it was born a trefa, it itself never had a time that it was going to be permitted to be eaten, but the shechita has applications to it, because its species has shechita, and therefore the shechita will be metarid from the tumah. And again, that's what the Chum are comparing the aver of the fetus, of the uber, that has the same halacha like the trefa. But that's what the Mishnah concludes by saying, however, an 8-month-old fetus, shechita of it will not purify from the tumah of nevela, because its species does not have shechita. Why? Because an 8-month-old fetus never has viability. It's not included in Bakar V'Tzayin. That's not considered a min, even though it's like a cow, whatever it is, it's a type of species, but that 8-month-old is its own species, never has the permissibility of shechita. So if it's not going to be tarit from nevela, even according to what we had said in regards to the explanation of what a treif is. Now, and that's what our Gemara asked a question. V'atanya. So we're calling the ben shmein nechai as something that ain b'minoi shechita. Thing is, v'atanya lidna b'raisa n'tares kainim, on this halacha v'chiyamis min abehema, the b'raisa says, oh, ben shmein nechai yechiyach. No, an 8-month-old fetus will prove what we're trying to say, that sha'af api sheyesh b'minei shechita, even though its species has the application of slaughtering, still ein shechitasim mitarasai, still its slaughtering, as if it was born and then you slaughtered, does not purify it. So that's back to the question that should say that trefa should not also have this differentiation from a behemoth tamei. Meaning, the whole thing that the Mishnah was saying was that, oh, okay, ben shmei nechai, you're right, since it doesn't have any time that it could be eaten. So therefore, you're right, it's not going to be metaret. Whereas trefa, at least its min has something that it could be purified, it could be permitted to be eaten. So if it gets purified, and that's the difference between it and the behemoth tamei. But the braisa, in what we're recording right now, says, no, I could disprove that. Because a ben shmei nechai explains the braisa, and that's what the Gemara's question essentially is, not like our Mishnah, has minoi b'shechita. It is a type of species that has slaughtering. And still you see it doesn't purify it. So then you should say treifah should be the same thing. It should not be purified. That's what the Braisa is pointing out. Now, we explaining that what the Braisa means to say, that yesh b'mina shchita, means to say, what are we saying that the shchita is not going to purify it? Meaning when it's born and then you slaughter it. But as Rashi explains, as is evident from the Gemara shortly, but when the 8-month-old fetus is in the womb of the mother and you slaughter the mother, of course then the fetus is going to be purified. It's going to actually be permitted, even if it's a treifa. What the Bryce is saying is that even though it has its type, has shchita, which as we're going to shortly explain, that actually means when it's in the womb of the mother, but still when that 8-month-old fetus is born as a child, its own slaughtering is not going to purify it. The question the Gemara is asking is, but our Mishnah says that an 8-month-old fetus is not something that has its species as shchita, and that is actually why it's not purified from the vela. But the Bryce is using it as a question. Bryce is saying, well, what do you mean? We're back to the question. Why is treif any different than the behemoth, to me, a non-kosher animal? What do you mean? Because it has b'minoi? Well, this also has b'minoi, and still it's not purified, so maybe treif also should not be purified from the vela when you slaughter it. So what is it? Is a ben chai, is an 8-month-old fetus, when it's born, considered b'mina shchita or not? So Rav Kani says, this that the Tana, the Braisa, said, yesh b'mina shchita, that has in its species slaughtering, is agavimoy, is because of its mother, meaning, like we were explaining, because it gets permitted with the slaughtering of the mother. So that's why it held that that's a question. Oh, so you see that it's not purified, so therefore treif also should not be purified. But v'tani didan, the tan of our Mishnah, mina de'ime loyparach, because of its validity of the slaughtering of the mother, that the tan of our Mishnah didn't hold that's a refutation. Because since the 8-month-old fetus by itself cannot be slaughtered, slaughtering doesn't help, so the tan of our Mishnah understood it as ein b'mina shchita, and therefore that's why it's not purified by slaughtering, in contrast to treifa, that its minoi, its species, other cows, regular cows, have slaughtering to be eaten, so therefore even this treifa, even if it's born like that, is going to be permitted by slaughtering, and that's why it's different than mehemet tameh. Now, as the Gemara, ulahai tana, so according to the tana of the Braisa we just quoted, the parach that hold it is a question, it is a refutation from the that it's permitted through its mother, and holds that because of that we call that yesh b'mina shchita, so then treifa de shchitas mitarasa, so we're back to the question that was discussed in our Mishnah. So a treifa animal that it gets purified by being slaughtered from tumas of nevela minole, where does the tana of the Braisa know this? We're actually back to the question. So then yes, it should be compared to a non-kosher animal that slaughtering does not purify it. Because the whole reason why we were saying in our Mishnah that it's different is because we're saying that yesh b'mina shchita. So since its species has, so even though here it's not going to be permitted to be eaten, but it'll purify from the vela. But the thing is, the time of the Braisa does not hold that logic. So how does he know this halacha? Says Gemara, nafkalei med Rabbi Yehuda Merav. The Amr Rabbi Yehuda Merav, he says, Amri la, some say it was b'masnita tan, it was learned in the Braisa. Amar kra, the Pasuk says in Yikra, v'chiyamis min ha-behema, that if it will die from an animal, which the Pasuk says, which is something that you would normally eat, but now that it died, it's in the vela. So whoever touches the dead carcass is tummy until the evening. But it says the terminology min, which is exclusionary terminology, which is mixes behemet mitama. Only some animals will transmit tama, or mixes behemet ena mitama, but some will not. Ve'eza zu, and which type of animal, when it's in the vela, will not transmit tama. Zu treifa shashachta, that's a treifa animal that was slaughtered, where although halachically on some level it's not really a slaughtered animal, it's really like just a dead animal, because you can't eat it. But since it was properly slaughtered, although you can't eat it, it will not transmit tumma. That's what's being excluded. That's where the Tana of the Braisa knows this halacha from, not like the logic that we said in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara continues that we relate back to the halacha of our Mishnah. Bei Rav Hishe. Hishe asked the following question. If the slaughterer stuck his hand inside the womb of the animal, v'shachet ben teschai, and in the womb, he slaughtered a 9-month-old viable fetus, which then after it was slaughtered, came out and was born, and the mother is still alive. Now, what's the halacha regarding that child? In other words, we're specifically asking regarding a 9-month-old fetus, because if it was 8-month-old, there would be no question, because even once it emerged and then it was slaughtered, so the Mishnah where we had in the Ayin Beis and Beis said the slaughtering does not permit it. Question is regarding a 9-month-old, which if it would emerge, you slaughter it, very good. What's halacha if you slaughtered in utero? So says the Gemara, Tebeiler Ameya, but Tebeiler Aban. You could ask this question according to either opinion that we're going to quote on the next Mishnah a few lines down. To Baal Remeir, you can ask the question according to Remeir, which is Ad Kan Lakam Remeir. Where do we find Remeir that we're going to quote? He says, Ben Pekua Toin Shechita. Ben Pekua is this when you find a fully developed fetus inside the mother that was slaughtered. You find inside a fetus. What's the halacha? Remeir says, you have to slaughter that child, that fetus. Now, that says the Gemara, but you could say, Hanamili Hechad Yotzal Avar Olam. You could say, that's only when that fetus emerges to the airspace of the world. Then he holds you have to slaughter it. Al b'me'ima, but maybe in the fetus, when it's in the womb of the mother, we could say, lo yishari le'shchita. Actually, slaughtering does not apply to it, and it actually cannot be used to permit the fetus. And for sure, according to Rabbanu, who they say that there's never slaughtering regarding a ben pekua, even when it emerges alive after the slaughtering of the mother, that there's no slaughtering. It's only when a fetus emerges when the mother is still alive that slaughtering would apply. But maybe we could even say, according to a mayor that says that there is shechita of ben pekua, that's only when it emerges. But maybe in utero, there's no halach of shechita, and it's not going to permit the fetus. Or maybe we could go the opposite way. Afil Rabbanan, even according to Rabbanan, that maybe, although they say there's no shechita for the fetus, but maybe they'll hold that the slaughtering will permit the fetus that was slaughtered in utero, because maybe the Rabbanan hold Dalit Simonim Achshe Beirachmana, that there are four pipes that the Torah permits. Meaning, an animal, when it's slaughtered, there's two pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe. Now, maybe what it means to say is that whichever two pipes you cut will permit the fetus, whether the mother's, that's what they say, generally when the mother is slaughtered, they say, oh, the ben pekua doesn't have to be slaughtered, as we'll see in the next Mishnah, but maybe it's not exclusively for the mother. Maybe it's even the mother's or the fetus's. And for sure, Kondrat Meir, who he says that there is a halach of shechita and ben pekua, that maybe for sure he would also agree that the shechita would help. So which one is it? Is it everyone holds, you could ask the question according to either opinion, that the slaughtering does help or doesn't help. So Amar Rav Chanan says, Toshima. It's being a raya from our Mishnah, the previous Mishnah. The Mishnah said, in part of its discussion, it said, well, you're telling me that the reason why slaughtering by a trefa is metarid from the Tumah of Nevela because it had a shasa kosher, it had a moment when a viability before it became a trefa? And that said the Mishnah, Hari shall know the trefa min abetin. But what are you going to do? How are you going to know the source? For when it was born, the congenital, when it was born already as a trefa, where are you going to know over there that it's going to be permitted from Tahara if it never had a shasa kosher because it was already born, already a trefa? Now, the assumption of the Gemara is that even if it became a trefa a moment before its birth, where it never had a moment of viability to be slaughtered, so it never had the effectiveness of slaughtering, how you know over there that the shechita is going to be tarif in the veil? Which ultimately the Gemara said, you're right, doesn't mean that this one had, but pemina, its species had. But that is the Gemara, but v'i'isa, but if it's true, like we're saying in one of these options in the question that we're saying, that the slaughtering of the fetus, when it's in the womb of the mother, that's an appropriate slaughtering. But then, mishkachas la, but then you do find for this trefa animal, even if it was born already a trefa, the haisla shasa kosher, it had a viability for it itself for slaughtering before it became a trefa. How so? Because the ibayi yal yod b'shachte, because if he wants, he can stick his hand in utero and slaughter. So it has a shasa kosher. Obviously, we don't consider that a shasa kosher. Obviously, that slaughtering does not work in utero. And that Amalei Rava says, no, it's not a raya, because Tani, you could amend it to say, Shenitzra trefa min abedin. What our Mishnah was saying was not that it was born a trefa, but actually it was formed a trefa in the utero. And therefore you never had a shasa kosher, even in utero, because it was formed that way. Umishkachas lebebalas heiraglaim. And you would have this case by an animal that has five legs, which that type of a trefa most definitely was there from the moment it was formed, and it didn't just happen the moment before it was born, that it emerged from utero. And it would be specifically talking about where the extra leg is from the hind legs. Because as the Gemara says in Mechiras of Memim and Aleph, that an animal that has five legs is considered a mum, a blemish, you can't bring it as a carbon. That the Gemara says over there, that's only if it's missing or has an extra hand, a foreleg. But if it's regarding one of its hind legs, then it's actually not only just a blemish for a carbon, it even becomes a trefa, because there you say, kol yesa kenot l'dami, like an extra is like you're missing. An animal that's missing a leg is considered a trefa, and therefore, that's where we'd be saying that it never had viability because it was actually trefa even in utero, but could be that if it only happened once it was born, then maybe it actually would have had a viability because maybe shechita in the womb actually would help, and therefore there's no proof for the question that we asked. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme, we're discussing a behemah makasha, which is talking about an animal being slaughtered, but regarding that we said that, but it's in the middle of childbirth, we're talking about a fetus inside the animal itself, and it's a halachas pertaining to shchita, regarding the tumas nevelis, and regarding permissibility of being eaten. So says the Mishnah, Hashecher es ha-behemah, if someone slaughters an animal, u'motza ba ben shmeinah, and you find inside, you open up the animal, and what do you know? It was pregnant, it has an 8-month-old fetus inside. Now, says the Mishnah, chai oy meis, this case regarding finding the 8-month-old is whether it's alive or dead. Oy, or another case, ben tisha, meis. If you find inside a dead 9-month-old, because that's like humans, animals have 9 months where it has its pregnancy. So you find inside a dead 9-month-old fetus. Says the Mishnah, what you do is, kairai, you don't have to slaughter that fetus. You could tear it open and you could eat this animal. And this even, as we're going to see, in contrast where even Rav Meir would agree to this halacha, because as we mentioned in previous daf, we say whatever's inside the animal, we say kol bibahema, a behema bibahema, an animal in an animal, toichel you could eat. Now, the reason why that's included is because since it didn't go full term, at least not alive, because the 9-month-old, either it's dead, or the 8-month, even if it's alive, so it didn't have the full pregnancy of 9 months, and it also didn't emerge to the ear space of the world, you found it inside the animal, so therefore we don't consider that fetus as its own animal, we consider it as part of the animal, and whatever is part of the animal, inside the animal, gets permitted with the slaughtering of the mother, and therefore this is just like an organ of the mother, and you could just tear it open, and you could eat it, but umeitzi is dumai. But you have to excrete the blood from that fetus, because although, as we're going to teach later on, Daf Ayin Hamad Aleph, that the chaylev, which are generally forbidden fats of an animal, in the fetus those fats are permitted, because we actually learned this out from which the source of the halacha, forbidden fats, is learned out in this comparison of karbanos, that those chalavim are actually sacrificed in the mizbeach, and we learn that from the karban ashim, just like the chaylev and the two kidneys by ashim preclude that halacha applying to the embryo, because an ashim has to be a male, so it doesn't have those chalavim, and therefore every fetus does not have that halacha of being prohibited its fats, but its blood is no less than the blood of the limbs of the animal itself, which we're considering the fetus as one of the limbs, as one of the organs, which the Gemara increases of Chof Alef and Beis tells us that the blood of the limbs itself, one violates a negative prohibition, so you have to squeeze out the blood, but you don't have to slaughter that fetus. Now, however, continues the Mishnah, this is the machlekes that we've been alluding to. Matzah ben tisha chai. Let's say you slaughter an animal, you open up, and guess what? There's a living, breathing, 9-month-old fetus, which is ready to be born, inside the mother. So the first Tana says, toin shchita. It has to be slaughtered. Now, the reason for that is because it has its full 9-month pregnancy that it completed. So we consider it as if it's its own distinct animal. And therefore, that's not included in kol bebehema toichelu, that whatever's inside the animal you could eat, you have to slaughter this as its own animal. Now, whereas the Rabban, as we're going to quote, they hold that no, what precludes it from being permitted inside the animal is only if it went full 9 months and it was born. And therefore, this case, where it wasn't born yet, the Rabban say it's still permitted in this kol bebehema toichelu. But the first opinion says, no, you have to slaughter it. And v'chayv bo'isliv es benai, and there will be a liability that you're not allowed to slaughter this fetus at the same day as its mother, because Rami says you have to slaughter it, and it's also its own animal, so it'd be in the violation of slaughtering it at the same day as its mother, which is oisliv es benai, you're not allowed to slaughter an animal the same day as its mother. That's Dibri Meir. But the Chachamim, they disagree. They say, no, shchitas imen mitarasa, there's no slaughtering, so you don't have the violation of Isa's benai for sure, and you don't have to slaughter it because the slaughtering of the mother permits this fetus, even if it went full 9 months, inside the mother animal. Now, for Ketein Tamad Bey is a third opinion, Reb Shimon Shazuri Aimer, he says, a Philip in Chameshanim. Let's say this Ben Pekua, we call it that it was found alive inside the animal, which we said, according to the Tanakama, you don't have to go ahead and slaughter it, so it's a living animal. And it's 5 years old. V'charish basad, it's plowing in the field. Shchidasim imitarase, the slaughtering of the mother permits it. You could just go ahead and take a bite out of it. It's like a slaughtered piece of meat. It's already permitted, even though it's living and breathing. Which the Gemara is going to ask. That's the same as Tanakam, who said you don't have to slaughter it. Now, continues the Mishnah. All this was talking about that you slaughtered the mother and you found the fetus inside. What's if kara? Let's say you tore open the animal without slaughtering it. Umatza ba ben teschai. And then you find inside a living 9-month-old baby, says the Mishnah, then toin shchita. Then you have to slaughter the fetus, lafishlei nishcha te'imer, because the mother wasn't slaughtered. All what we said that the fetus is permitted, and you don't have to slaughter it, is because permitted through the dint of its mother. But if the mother wasn't slaughtered, then you would have to slaughter the fetus. Now, Amr Abulaz Amr Baishi qualifies the opinion of the Chachamim, says, lehilchu bay, that the sages didn't go regarding this leniency regarding the fetus, ela al iske shchita bovad, only in regarding to the context of slaughtering. That's it. For that we said, oh, it doesn't have to be, it's not like an animal to be slaughtered. But regarding all other halachas, the Rabban agree that it's a bona fide animal, has all the halachic applications that apply to a distinct animal. Says Gemara, lemutemai, what are we excluding from this permissibility of the fetus? So says the Gemara, lemutei chel b'vigidoi, it's coming to exclude its fats and its gid hanasha, that forbidden sinew of the animal, because since you found it alive, and ultimately it went 9 months in the pregnancy, and it ultimately emerged, so that causes that its fats and those forbidden fats and the gid hanasha are forbidden, just like a regular animal. It's only the shechita that it's being permitted through the shechita of the mother. However, ask the Gemara, chel b'namai, which fats are we talking about? Ilim chel b'dishlil, if we're talking about the fats of the fetus, which Rashi points out, although this is all in all the text of the Gemaras, says most definitely it's an error, because no one could rationalize and explain this line in the Gemara, because how could the Gemara ask, what fats are we talking about? The only case we're talking about that this could be have an application is by a fetus that went 9 months and you found it alive inside, because that's the case that we're discussing over here, where it's a regular bona fide animal, so okay, maybe even though it doesn't have to be slaughtered, but its fats and its gid hanasha are forbidden. Rather, says Rashi, that this similar text of the Gemara is in Perek gid hanasha later on, and because of that, those who were writing the Gemaras, the typists, they made a mistake in word over here, but really, this line doesn't belong over here, because obviously we're talking about its fats and the gid hanasha of the shlil. So rather, says Rashi, it's just that the Gemara continues and says, what, you're talking about the fats and the gira nasha of this shlil? To say that's being precluded from this permissibility of this animal, the ben pekua, as if it's not an animal? But Miflag Pligi, we actually find that they do dispute both its fats and its gira nasha. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Gid hanasha noig bishlil. The first Tanakh says, the prohibition of consuming the gira nasha, the sciatic nerve, that gid, noig bishlil, that also applies to the fetuses. Gid hanasha and vachelboy, and those forbidden fats of the fetus are also asr, are also forbidden, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. They're talking about a 9-month-old fetus that was found alive, because this Tana holds that since it went the 9 months and it ultimately came out to the airspace of the world, that caused for it to be considered its own animal. So although the mother was slaughtered and it came out, its chelev and its gid hanasha is forbidden. That's Dibri Reb Meir. Biudaim, he says, no, ain't a noig bishlo. No, this halacha of the chelev and the gid hanasha does not apply to the fetus, and the chelbei mutter, and its fats are permitted. And as we said, v'amr b'laza amr b'ishi, he says, machlekes b'ben teschai. Their machlekes in this braisa was by a 9-month-old viable fetus. V'halach r'meir l'shitase, and r'meir goes according to his opinion that we mentioned, that regarding slaughtering, he says the mother slaughtering does not help for the fetus, because he considers it as its own distinct animal. So therefore, because of that, its fats are also going to be forbidden, because it's like its own animal. And Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai, and Rabbi Yehuda is going according to his opinion, that he permits it through the slaughtering of the mother, because he considers it just like another piece, another organ of the animal itself. Oh, and therefore its fats are permitted, because those fats are not the fats of an animal, because it's like the pancreas having fats, which is another organ, not those fats that are forbidden. On the cloyas, certain different fats that would make it forbidden. And so therefore you do see that they disagree. So it can't be excluding to say like, oh, the lenient opinion was only said regarding shchita, because you see the lenient opinion holds that even the chelim and gid hanasha are also permitted by this ben teschai. So Ella rather says the Gemara, so what are you going to say? Maybe chelbi de gid. Maybe we're talking about, unrelated, that this what the Gemara is qualifying is regarding the fetus. Maybe what we were precluding was the chelev, the fats of the gid hanasha. I mean, the gid hanasha, sciatic nerve is forbidden. Then there's fats that surrounds many of the organs and parts of the body of the animal. That regarding that, that's what we said that no one disagrees. Everyone would agree that you don't have the permissibility over there. Which here too Rashi says that we don't have this gears of this line in our perek. It also belongs in perek gid hanasha, because what are you talking about? We're not talking about the gid hanasha, the animal. We're talking about the 9-month-old fetus. But either way, Says the Gemara, Miflik Pligi. But that is also something that they disagree about. And there are those who do permit that fat of the Gid HaNasha. You can't say that's what everyone agrees, that that would be forbidden. Because the Tanya learned the Braisa, the Gid HaNasha, the sciatic nerve, Mechatet Acharav B'chamakim Shehu. This Tanya holds, you have to dig out after that nerve, wherever it goes, because it goes very much into the body, V'chaitech Shamne Meikar, and you have to rip out the fats on it, all the way down to, even though it gets totally absorbed and rooted all the way deep into the flesh, you got to go after it and rip it out because all of that is forbidden to be eaten. That's the Remeir. Behudam, he disagrees. He says, no, you could just spoon it up with, you could just take off what's part of that spoon part, which is like that bounces out. Meaning you just have to flatten it out and take off that part that sticks out, which that's those fats are appear similar to the Gid HaNasha, which meaning because only rabbinically forbidden. But to root it out of the whole fats, that he said it's not a problem because those fats are actually permitted. So you see that the Chel of the Gid, not everyone agrees. There are those who say that really biblically it's permitted. So what are we talking about that we're saying that, oh, only regarding Shechit is where they say the leniency. But regarding the Chel and the Gid, they agree? Where? By what? Chel of the Gid of the Shlul, they don't agree. The Chel of the Gid HaNasha, they don't agree. So what is it that we're talking about? So Ella Rather says the Gemara, you're right. Iyit mahochit. If we said this Amarug teaching, opening up the Gemara, it wasn't said like exactly as we said it before, that it was only said regarding the Iske Shechita, but rather Amar Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Ishi says, Lehilchu bai, the sages didn't go regarding this fetus, regarding its permissibility, that we don't consider it as, quote, an animal. That wasn't just regarding Shechita. The word was Elal Iske Achil Bavad. That was only said regarding consumption purposes, which yes, one of them is that you could eat it without even slaughtering, but additionally, like we pointed out before, it's also that you could eat its fats and its Gid HaNasha, because for that we don't consider it as its own animal, and therefore that's not the forbidden chalev and Gid HaNasha, because it's not part of like a separate animal, which its Gid HaNasha is forbidden. So what is that coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude if one sodomizes that bent pakua. So although we don't consider, quote, an animal for certain things like regarding consumption, but it's a living animal. If a man sodomizes and has relations with an animal, engages in bestiality, it's just like any animal that's forbidden. And if he plows, let's say, a forbidden mixture of klayim, where you're not allowed to plow with two different types of animals together, most definitely if someone uses the bempeku with a different type of a species, he's going to get lashes for that. It is considered an animal. Now, continuing this halacha and extending a little bit further, Amar Rav Shimon Belakish. He says, "L'divrei hamater b'chelboy." We pointed out that we said that the one who permits this fetus not only permits it the bembekua without it being slaughtered, but even permits its fats to be eaten. So says Rish Lakish, according to the one who says that its fats are permitted, "Samater b'damai," says even if its blood is permitted. Whereas "L'divrei ha'isah b'chelboy," according to the opinion, says no, its fats are forbidden, which is that same opinion that holds that you actually have to slaughter them in pakua. So "isah b'damai," he's the one who says that its blood is forbidden. Rabbi Yechonam, he disagrees. He says, "No, afla divrei hamata b'chelboy, even according to the one that says its fats are permitted, isa b'dame, its blood is forbidden." Now, eitzve Rabbi Yechonam, Rabbi Shimon Belakish. Rabbi Yechonam asked from Rabbi Shimon Belakish from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, "You find this ben pakua inside, so kairai, you just tear it open, umaitze is dame, and you take out its blood." Now, this was actually by the 8-month-old or the dead 9-month-old. Now, obviously, you see that even the 8-month-old fetus, which according to everyone, as we pointed out in the Mishnah, that wasn't the Machlekes Rav Meir and the Chum, that in the Reisha, everyone agrees that its fats are permitted. You said you could just tear it and eat it, considered not its own animal, but rather like part of the organs of the animal. And still the Mishnah says you have to tear it to take out the blood. You see the blood is forbidden, even according to the cases and those individuals that hold that the Chelev is Mutter. So Amar B'Zeira, he qualifies and he says, you're right, this that Rish Lakish said, that those who say that the chalev is permitted by the fetus, that its blood is also permitted, wasn't a carte blanche, totally permitted permissibility. Rather, he was saying, is lay mesha ain't anish karis. He's just saying, according to those opinions, which is that opinion of Rabbi Huda, that says that you're not going to get karis. It's not going to be like when one generally has the dam of the nefesh, the real blood that comes out, when you slaughter it, that lifeblood, you get karis. That's what he means, say you're not going to get karis. But you're right, it's not permitted. Initially, you would have to tear it according to everyone. Now, Laman Kamrina, ask the Gemara, wait a second. For who are we talking about? Who's the one that we're saying permits the fats? The Rish Lakish is saying that, quote, permits the blood, meaning that you're not going to get karas. It's Rabbi Yehuda, as we taught before. He's the one that says, v'chel bei mutter. Now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why wouldn't you be getting a punishment of karas for consuming the blood of the fetus? Lo yehei ela dama tamsis. It shouldn't be any less than the leftover blood of an animal, which is not, quote, the dama nefesh, the lifeblood that the animal survives on, but even dama tamsis, which from the word of mitzvah, I'm squeezing out the remnants of the blood, Rabbi Yehuda holds you get karas for that. And this fetus should not be any less than the organs of the animal, which have that punishment of karas. The Tanakh, learn the Braisa. Tanakhama says, dama tamsis bazhara. Consuming the leftover bloods in the animal, that is only a warning, a negative prohibition, which the first Perek in Krisa says is five negative prohibitions for consuming blood. However, he says, "Bihi karis." He says actually that the person gets karis, which he learns that as the Gemara is going to shortly quote from a ribuy of kol dam, which includes all blood, even if it's not the dama nefesh, even the dama tamsis. So how could Resh Lakish say that according to him that it's going to be that you're not going to get karis? So Tirgum Rabbi Yisrael Bered Rav Salah Chassid the Kamed Rav Papa, he says, because Ishel Rabbi Yehuda, like we just mentioned before, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it says, instead of saying dam, when it talks about the punishment, the violation of blood, it says v'chol dam, and all blood that the person is going to get karas. So what he means to say is that since according to Rabbi Yehuda, the dam atamses, the leftover bloods, the way you know it that this karis is from the ribui, from the inclusionary terminology of kol dam. So essentially the pasuk is equating kol dam to the dam itself, to the lifeblood itself, which teaches you as follows. Kol heichad mechayev adam nefesh, wherever there's a liability for the lifeblood itself, then there's liability for kol dam, mechayev adam atamses, then you're going to have the liability even for the remnant blood. But for kol heichad mechayev adam nefesh, wherever you're not going to have a liability for the primary blood itself, like the fetus, which doesn't have dam nefesh because it's not the living animal itself, it's just like one of the organs, then there's not going to be a liability for the blood of the limbs, lemechayev adam atamses. That's why there's no liability for the dam atamses. Yes, initially it's not permitted, but there's not going to be karas, even according to Yehuda's opinion, and that's what Resh Lakish was going like. Now, in related discussion to this topic of Ben Pekua, the Gemara says, Yibaylu, that the following question. Mahu liftais, what's the halacha to redeem a petach hamar? A petach hamar, the way the Torah says, is that there's a law of the firstborn animal, which applies, like by sheep, which is that has to be given to the kohen. Then there's halacha by a non-kosher animal, by a donkey specifically, that the firstborn donkey also has to be given. If it's not, the option is what it is, it could be redeemed by a sheep, and that sheep is given to the kohen. If not, one has to decapitate that donkey. So the question is, what's the halacha? Can you redeem the firstborn donkey, bebent pekua, with a sheep that was found 9 months old as a fetus inside an animal that was slaughtered? Now, we're talking about that the sheep is worth less than the donkey, because if it actually had the same value, the Gemara Bechayis Daf Yud Aleph tells us, says you could redeem it with anything. So of course the Ben Pekua would also work. Our question is, does it have the biblical halacha of redeeming the firstborn donkey with any type of sheep, even that's worth less, would that apply to the Ben Pekua too? And the Gemara explains that the question doesn't start. Because since he says that the Ben Pekua, that you find alive, 9-month-old, breathing inside the mother that you slaughtered, that baby has to be slaughtered, so semaliyu, it's considered a bona fide regular sheep, and of course it's going to be viable to be used as the redemption for the petach hamar. The question starts according to the Rabbanan. They say the slaughtering of the mother purifies the child, and you don't have to have slaughtering for the child. My, what's the halacha? What's the question? Since they say that the slaughtering of the mother is what purifies the child, so you know what this Ben Pekua animal is? It's like meat in a pot, because it's already like cut up pieces of meat, although it's in a living creature, because it was already permitted with the slaughtering of the mother. Now, the Mishnah Bechayis David Beis Amar Avta says you cannot redeem with a slaughtered animal. So maybe this, like a slaughtered animal, cannot be used for the redemption. Or maybe no. That might be halachically. But kim derod v'azl v'rod v'asi, this is an animal that's running and coming and going. It's a breathing creature. Sekarina bay. We call it a sheep. And therefore, it's going to be viable for the pinyon petach hamar. That's the question that the Gemara asks. So it's actually machleik. It's mazdut shama. He says, ein paiden. No, you cannot redeem with it. Ravashima paiden says you could redeem with it. Now that I'm the Rav Ashi Mazutra, he asked the Mazutra, my daitach, what's the reason for your opinion that you say you cannot use it to redeem the petach hamar? So must be because the gamrid, because you learn se se mipsachim. You learn gzeres shava, where it says the word se over here by the pidyon petach hamar, and it says the word se by the karban pesach. Now just like by the karban pesach, a ben pekua is pasul. Why? Because as the Gemara said previously, by kachim it says ki yavalid. It's only considered a viable carbon, which is what the carbon pesach is, when it's born through the birth canal, which precludes yetzer dafen. If it's born through the cesarean, and for sure if it was never born at all, if it was found in the inside the stomach of the mother, that then it's not going to be viable as a carbon pesach. So that's what you're saying. Oh, so pinyan petach amar says the same gezeirah shava from carbon pesach. It's also not able to be used as the pinyan petach amar. But that asked Rav Ashi, then if you're making gezeirah shava, then maybe say you have to compare it totally to the carbon pesach. Ima lahalan, then say just like by the carbon pesach, zachar tamim uben shana has to be a male animal that's unblemished and in its first year. So afkan zachar tam ben shana, then you should say and qualify and limit that the pinyan petach amar can't be just any sheep. It should have to be a male that's unblemished in its first year. Oh, that says Mazutra. No, tifta, reber. There's an inclusionary terminology of redeem, of redeem. Why is it saying that? Including redemptions, which is, even if it's not limited to being a male in its first year, unblemished. So that asks Rav Ashi, then e tifta, reber. Then if you have all these inclusionary terminologies of redeem, nafilikol melenami, then everything should be utilized, and therefore even the ben pekuah should be viable. Why is he saying it's not viable? On that says Majutu, no, Imkain, but if that's the case, says Seh Mayahanile. So what would we do with the Gezeirah Shava comparing it to the Karban Pesach, that's limiting it, what could be used? And if it's logical that we're excluding this case of the Ben Pekuah, because like we said, it's like cut up meat in the pot, and when we're including from tifta, we'd be including if it's blemished, and if it's a female, that's what we'd be including, that would be an option to be used as the Pinyan Petach Amur, and therefore that's their Machlekes, if it could be used. Now, continuing on this Halacha, with questions on the Ben Pekuah, so Ibayu looked at the following question. If an animal that was slaughtered, which now it's already considered a food item that could contract tumma, if it became tummy, the mother animal, and inside you have this fetus, mahu limnis by rishon v'sheni, what's the halacha? Do you count levels of tumma? Generally, the way transmission of tumma works is that, let's say there was an ava tumma, which is a father level, and that touched the animal itself, and it could become tummy because it was shachet already. So the animal becomes a rishon l'tumah. Now the next thing that it touches becomes a sheni, and so on. So the question is, the fetus that's 9 months old and alive inside the womb of the mother, does it get downgraded to a sheni l'tumah, or does it maintain the same level of tumah that the mother had, which was a rishon? So it's a machlekes. Rabbi Yechon Amar, he says, "Mainu by rishon v'sheni." We do count that it goes from one to the mother, and then the second level to the child, because he holds that they're two different bodies. So it's two different elements. It goes down a stage when it gets transmitted. He says, no, ain't minor by Rishon Vesheni. We don't count one and two. Rather, even the Ben Pekuah is considered a Rishon L'tumah. Why? Because Nasa Ge'egas Hamaskashkash Beklipasai. It's like a nut that could be banged around in its shell, where although, yes, it moves, it's its own entity, but it's considered part of the nut itself. And here too, the mother animal is just like the shell around the fetus, but it's considered part of it, and therefore, when the nut gets tummy because it touched the shell, the nut inside is the same thing. Here too, it's the same thing. It's a rishon l'tumah. Now, Eis Reb Shem Malakash Rabbi Yechanan, he asked Rabbi Yechanan from a Mishnah we had in Daf Ayin Beis Aman Aleph. The Mishnah said, according to the Chacham HaBasar, the flesh of the fetus, which was attached to the limb that left, which we said that the limb that leaves is not validated with the slaughtering that's inside. So questions we had, what is that limb considered to say that the fetus that's touching its own limb that stuck out, what halacha does it have? So that flesh is maga nevela divrei Meir. Meir says that the flesh of the fetus is considered touching a nevela, because that he holds that limb doesn't get permitted with the slaughtering of the mother at all. So they're both like a nevela, like an evim lechai. And if the flesh of the fetus that's touching that limb has a tumma of touching a nevela. They disagree. They say, no, maga trefa shchuta. They hold that actually that limb does get purified through the slaughtering of the mother. It's not an avela, but it's like a trefa that's slaughtered, which, although you can't eat it, it will be purified from the tumma of an avela. But it'll have just, like we said, a rabbinic tumma regarding karbanas. But says Rish Lakish, bishlam ledidi, this mishnah makes sense according to me. Da'amin echad gufu, I say that regarding to the laws of tumma, that the fetus and the mother are one body. So that's how the fetus becomes susceptible to tumah. How? B'dama d'ime, through the blood of the mother. Which is that since the incision of the slaughtering validates the animal that's susceptible to tumah by the blood, which is one of the seven liquids that can make a food item susceptible to tumah. So all of the animal now is vulnerable to tumah. Doesn't have to touch every single part of the food item. And the fetus is part of the mother. Like I say, it's one body. So that's how it can become tummy from coming in contact with the limb that left. But according to you, what makes the flesh of the fetus that it's vulnerable to becoming tummy from the limb if it's its own entity? And therefore there's no liquid that touched it. There was only liquid of blood that touched the animal itself. So on that Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said to him, it's b'shchita, it's through the slaughtering. Because since the slaughtering permits the fetus too, so that itself will validate it and prepare it to become ready to become tummy. How? Ukrib Shimon. Like Rabbi Shimon, that he says that it's actually the slaughtering of the animal itself that prepares it to become vulnerable to tumah, even without the blood itself, as the Gemara said in the second parak. Nevelim Gimelim Alf. So it's going according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, Eitzav Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Now Rabbi Yechon asked back in Rabbi Shimon Lakish from the following brisa, which is going to have a similar type of an answer. Avar, if a 9-month-old fetus that was found inside a slaughtered animal, and then it grew up, and that Ben Pekua went through Benar, went through a river. So Huchshur, now it came in contact, it's already like a slaughtered piece of meat, so it's already a food item because you don't need to slaughter anymore, and then now it touched one of the 7 liquids, it went through water, it's now vulnerable to Tumah. And therefore, halach lebeis hakvar is nitma. Now that it went to the cemetery, it became tummy, like a piece of meat that became tummy. So says Rabbi Yechanan, bishlam ledidi, this halacha the brisa makes sense according to me. Damina tre gufininu. I say that the fetus is considered a separate body than the mother. So mishum hachi huchshur in. That's what the brisa is saying. Only when it becomes prepared by coming in the water, then it can become tummy. But loy huchshur loy. If it didn't come in contact with water, then it's not ready to become, to be mekabel tumah. But according to you, that you said it's one body with the mother, it was already vulnerable to tumah from the moment of slaughtering, before we even took it out when we found it inside the stomach, because the blood that touched the mother made the mother and the babies part of the mother, so therefore, why do you need it that it has to go through the river? So that the Gemara answers on top of Ayin Hayim and Aleph, Bishchita Yevishta. We're talking about a dry slaughtering, meaning that at that slaughtering, actually no blood came out, that even the mother does not become susceptible to tumah. And the reason is because this Tana holds that if you slaughter it without any blood coming out, the animal does not become susceptible to tumah because udaloy krib shimon. That Tana holds not like krib shimon. So you're right. The fetus is part of the mother. But the mother itself was not hokshli kabel tumah because no liquid touched it. And we don't hold that the shechit itself makes it hokshur. And then with the ben pakua, although it's like a piece of meat walking, but nothing was makshured yet. And it's only when it goes through the water, then it can become hokshur. And then it's not difficult according to Rish Lakish.